send out a prayer, a cry for help to heaven from here. Just let me send out a resting home into despair for you. Let me send out a prayer for you.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Again, Proverbs chapter 24, starting at verse 1. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. He who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Verses 1 through 12, Proverbs chapter 24. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is a tremendous book of wisdom, a book of counsel, insight, guidance, and direction. And as we have the opportunity to read and meditate on it each day, we can hear directly from your heart and hear your will better and better as we read and meditate on your word each and every day. Lord, with every passing day, help us to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to hear your word and walk in its wisdom. Help us to be faithful, not only to be students, but help us to be faithful to teach and train our children and our grandchildren and others that we know the importance of being students, faithful students of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you, we do have our fall share-a-thon coming up in just a few weeks. And we want to encourage you, if you haven't called in yet, please do take time to call and share a listener testimony of how the Lord has and is using Urban Family Talk to bless you, to encourage you, to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd call in and share a listener testimony, you can call this number, 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. And again, we'd be glad to get that testimony from you, and you just might hear your testimony during our fall share-a-thon. Hope you'll take time to do that. Let me remind you, too, we want to encourage you to go on Facebook and like our Facebook at Hour of Intercession, our Facebook page, that is, at Hour of Intercession. Also, keep in mind, we want to encourage you to go online to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe. And keep in mind, too, we also have free mobile apps from that you can get for the iPhone and Android devices as well. And all you have to do is go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk. And that way you can take these apps with you wherever you go. You know, we have a number of stations in a few different states. But if you get the apps, you can listen to Urban anywhere in the whole wide world. So I hope you'll take time to do that. So again, as always, we appreciate you listening to Urban Family. Jade is in the studio with us for just a few moments. Victory McIntosh, that is. Victory, Jade. Always good to have Jade in the studio.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. I'm sorry.
Jade's going to help us reconnect. Tell you how to connect with the cherubim. So always good to have you, Jay.
Thank you, Pastor Parker. Victory. You said Jay. Look, I do not have
She's
two
both.
Personalities,
She's
I
both.
Promise.
That's right.
I go by both. But yeah, you know, there's a great way that on Urban is so cool that you could actually communicate with Pastor Parker right now during the Hour of Intercession, which I think is really neat. If you go to urbanfamilytalk.com, Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. At the very top left corner, there's menu. Go to radio programs, go to Hour of Intercession, scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see the turban. And you just log in, and it's really simple, and you can chat live with Pastor Parker. And if you do like what he said, download our free app, Urban Family Talk. It's even quicker. So, yeah.
Amen. Thanks, Jade. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Christine Melcher. She is the director of the Houston Coalition for Life. It's a pregnancy clinic ministry that uses mobile pregnancy units. I think they have several of them all together, though. But we're grateful to have Christine on the line with us today. Christine, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you very much for inviting me to be on the show today, Pastor.
It's a privilege to have you on. And again, I appreciate just have had a chance in recent weeks to learn a little bit more about the great work that mobile pregnancy clinics do. But as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll take time just to introduce yourself to our listeners and introduce the ministry of Houston Coalition for Life.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, the Houston Coalition for Life started in Houston, Texas in 2002. And we started as kind of a grassroots organization where we organized people to come out and stand and pray and offer alternatives to the women that were going into the Planned Parenthood abortion facility here. And we did that for a number of years. When Planned Parenthood moved to their latest facility, which is the largest abortion facility in the United States, in 2010 is when they moved in, we realized the importance of having at our fingertips the resources of being able to offer the women free pregnancy tests and free ultrasounds. So we went forward with our first mobile crisis pregnancy center. It's a 44-foot bus that we put on the road in February of 2011. We park it next to this huge Planned Parenthood in Houston 6 days a week, offering those services that I just mentioned, free pregnancy tests, free ultrasound, and Christian counseling. We since then have put our second mobile crisis pregnancy center on the road because unfortunately in Houston we still have five other abortion facilities. So we take our smaller bus to one of the others on a part-time basis. And just in the last year we opened a freestanding pregnancy resource center because we wanted to offer the women that were helping in our two buses more than just a pregnancy test and an ultrasound. So now we're offering classes in our office where they can come and take classes such as parenting, simplicity in parenting, proper nutrition during pregnancy, breastfeeding, ESL, and we're working on even more classes. And they get diapers for coming to the classes, and then when their baby is due, we help them get anything else they may need. So kind of in a nutshell, Pastor Joseph, that's what we do.
Okay, then. And so you have two mobile pregnancy clinics and one standing pregnancy clinic, correct?
Correct.
Okay, then. You know, Christine, one of the things I'd mention is I, on a sort of a regular basis, have a guest from pregnancy clinics, and a goal behind that is the work that you all do is so vitally important to this issue in our culture, yet sadly you have lots of pastors, lots of churches that don't even know what a pregnancy clinic is, wouldn't even know to refer a woman in crisis to a local pregnancy clinic. So one of the goals in our having persons like yourself to come on is to educate people about the great, great work that you do. Now, would you comment on this? Now, I'm aware I have the privilege of being on the board of a pregnancy clinic, Parkgate Pregnancy Clinic here in Tupelo, Mississippi. So I might tend to know more than your average pastor. But the fact is, again, there's so much that is done in the way of evangelism, discipleship, and pastoral ministry through these clinics. Would you comment on that?
Yes, and I think we're a little different in that regard from some of the other pregnancy resource centers because we also work to build a presence in prayer and offering of alternatives on the street. That's where we're different. We reach out to churches in the Houston metropolitan area on a regular basis. And so those connections, with either the Respect Life contact at that person or directly with the pastor or the priest, we're able to not only introduce them to the value of praying and offering assistance right there outside the abortion facility, but we're able to also tell them about the resources that are available in a pregnancy center. So we do call our two buses crisis pregnancy centers because they are at the abortion facility, but we call our office a pregnancy resource center. And because we work so much on the community awareness and with the churches in the city, I think it makes it easier for us to get the message out about what the pregnancy centers are here for and what we can offer women. Of course, there's a lot more work to be done in that regard here in Houston, but it's something that we're constantly working on. And in that way, the pastors and the priests are aware of where they can send these women when they find someone who's in a crisis pregnancy and needs help.
That's good. That's good. Would you take time now to pray specifically for the church and to just to really grow in the understanding of the need to get aggressively involved with this important work of standing for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion in our culture?
Yes. So we come before you today, Heavenly Father, and we ask your grace and blessing on everything that we do. We ask you to help us spread the word in our communities, to let not only the pastors and priests and the heads of all the other organizations, but also to the laity, to the general public, that there's help available in these pregnancy centers where people are there, many who are volunteers, who give their time to help women who are facing an unwanted or crisis pregnancy. Please, Lord, help us to get the word out. Help us to bring your word to the community and to just do your will. We know that before a woman can physically abort her baby, she has to spiritually abort her baby. And so we ask your prayers and your blessings upon all of our work, that through the prayers that we offer up today, that every woman contemplating an abortion may feel even the slightest glimmer of life for her baby and choose to continue her pregnancy. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Christine. Now, Christine, now tell us, too, now you said you're located in a neighborhood, a minority neighborhood in the city of Houston. Tell us about now, for our purposes, it's really helpful to understand the ethnic, the makeup of the different racial groups. Tell me, break it down, like, for example, what percentage of your community would you say roughly is Hispanic?
Well, we our mobile crisis pregnancy center, which is parked next to the big Planned Parenthood in Houston, is in the middle of a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. Houston is made up of super neighborhoods, and this Planned Parenthood abortion facility is right at the juncture of four of them, three of which are historically Hispanic, and the fourth, which is African American, which is exactly where abortion facilities like to place their buildings. They target minorities. Right now, in our bus, about 50% of the women we see, maybe a little more, are Hispanic. Probably a little over 30% are African American, and then the rest would be white, Asian, and other races.
Okay. So you said 60% Hispanic or so?
Well, yeah, it's between 50 and 60. It's the greatest percentage of what we're seeing, but that's because of where this Planned Parenthood is located.
Right. And of course, you said 25% or so African American. One of the points I'm getting at is just that it's important for people to understand that one of the things I really try to emphasize is it's important for people to recognize that Planned Parenthood is a very wicked organization, whether people understand that or not. One of their original goals was, of course, they wanted to get rid of minorities. And Margaret Sanger, she didn't like black folks, period. And there are a number of quotes you can easily go online and find out, see where she expressed herself very clearly and very upfront about it. She wanted to come up with ways to exterminate African-Americans, amongst others. And so it's helpful for the church to understand that's what you're dealing with in Planned Parenthood, though they have changed their name down through the years, but their goals have remained pretty much on target, the same. And you find most of these clinics in predominantly minority neighborhoods, black neighborhoods, Hispanic neighborhoods, that sort of thing. That's who they are. That's what they do. Very racist organization. Yet, sadly, they cover themselves very, very well. So, but we're coming up on a break, and we want you to, on the other side, I want you to share a little bit more about the specifics of the work that you do, and also a little bit more about why it's so helpful to have the ministry of a mobile pregnancy clinic. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Christine Melchor, the director of Houston Coalition for Life. We'll be right back.
just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com. We are all created by God with undeniable purpose. Learn more about beautiful possibility at www.radiance.life. Follow us on Twitter at Life Has Purpose.
Given your own, yeah. Seems like you can't make. child, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand once the Lord sees you through. Yes,
you're listening to Donnie McClurkin with the song Stand. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Christine Melcher. She's the director of the clinic, Houston Coalition for Life. Christine, as we begin the next segment, I want to ask you if you would, do you have maybe any testimonies or stories of things that kind of help our listeners get a better picture of the kinds of issues and matters that you run into from day to day?
Sure. And one thing I'd really like to emphasize, Dr. Joseph, is because we have the people on the street, it's like the perfect storm. It's the perfect scenario for having a mobile crisis pregnancy center also there. Mm-hmm. Because when you combine the people that are praying with the people that are offering assistance to the moms going into the abortion facility, to having right there at their fingertips the ability to walk them 10 feet to a bus that offers free pregnancy tests and free ultrasounds, you put all that together and hearts and lives are saved from the horror of abortion. Mm-hmm. And so we have many stories, and even before our mobile crisis pregnancy center was on the street, we had many stories from the women and men, fathers and mothers, whose lives were changed when they chose life for their unborn child. Mm-hmm. And one I remember specifically, and this was even before, several I remember actually, before our mobile crisis pregnancy center, when a father who's a UPS driver saw us standing on the street praying, and he stopped, the truck got out and came over to us, and he said, "I just want to tell you that my wife and I were here 18 years ago for an abortion, but we talked to the people that were praying on the street, mm-hmm. and we changed our mind. And our little girl's going off to college next month, and I mm-hmm. just wanted to share that with you."
Praise God. Praise God.
And, I get choked up every time I mm-hmm. repeat that story, because where can you go and literally have the very real possibility of saving two lives from the horror of abortion? Mm-hmm. Not only the unborn child, but the mother, who's the victim also in this. Mm-hmm. I don't believe any woman wants to have an abortion. She's either coerced mm-hmm. or she thinks there's no other solution available. And I've yet to meet a mom who was happy that she aborted her child. And so where else can you go besides standing on the street outside an abortion facility and literally save a life? We mm-hmm. had a young girl in our bus not too long ago. I heard her talking on the phone to her mom. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Mom, there's this lady standing out there on the street." So the young girl went into Planned Parenthood, and she passed this lady that was praying. When she went into Planned Parenthood, she looked out the window. She still saw the lady praying. She couldn't get her out of her mind. Mm-hmm. So she left Planned Parenthood and came into our bus. So you never know. Mm-hmm. You never know what your presence is going to do. We know that since we've been out there, over 4,375 women have chosen life for their unborn children, and we have this documented.
Mm-hmm. What was that number again?
4,375 since we started going out in February of 2011.
Praise God. That's great.
Yes. Praise God. We give all the praise and glory to God. We're just there for Him to use. Mm-hmm. We put ourselves there and we say, "Use us, God. Please just use us." And mm-hmm. He will. I promise you, He will use you. And in His goodness, He lets us see some of these beautiful stories, but most of which I think we won't even know about until we stand before Him. And I can just see a sea of little faces behind God when we stand before Him. And He's going to ask us, "What did you do to save one of these?" And, mm-hmm. and it's so simple, really, when you think about it. Going to pray at an abortion facility is probably the last thing you want to do. Mm-hmm. But I promise you, if you just go once, you will go again.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the resources of a pregnancy center there really is, I guess you could say, the icing on the cake for what we're trying to do. Because people in prayer are the most important. And then the people, the sidewalk counselors that are offering the assistance. Mm-hmm. And then the women coming in. And it's the grace of God through the people praying on the street and the picture of their baby that we show them on the large screen TV that's monitor for our ultrasound machine in our bus is mm-hmm. what changes their minds. And we mm-hmm. find 9 out of 10 of the pregnant women we serve in our buses choose life. And we know just the opposite is true at any Planned Parenthood. 9 out of 10 pregnant women that walk into a Planned Parenthood choose abortion or death for their unborn child. Mm-hmm. So it's all in the way that we speak to them, the way we treat them, the way we, the kindness we show them, the love we show them, and the picture of their baby. Because I think so many of them have no idea what's going on in their womb, and they're absolutely flabbergasted when they see their little baby.
Mm. You know, that's so powerful, just a number of the things you touch on, Christine. And again, we thank God for the fact that God has raised up so many different pregnancy clinics in different communities. Now, you said your ministry has 2 mobile pregnancy clinics and 1 standing clinic. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right. Okay, then. And it's just the fact that you're able to drive one of your buses to be very close. Is it across the street from Planned Parenthood in Houston? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and it's just a little 2-lane street. We're right next to the main driveway, and it's a big, you know, it's a very nice looking, I think, all blue bus. We call it the Big Blue Bus, and we have words in English and Spanish on the outside about the services that we offer. And we're there consistently 6 days a week, and so the women have seen us. The ones that have come back and forth there through the years, we've had moms who've had an abortion and then had become pregnant and come back to us instead of Planned Parenthood, because nobody wants to go through that again.
Right.
And we're just so grateful to be able to be there.
And so with your being there, so often what happens is that you have women that are on their way to get an abortion. They'll see the bus, and instead of going to the abortion clinic, they choose to come to the bus just for counseling or encouragement and just whatever else, I guess. Is that, can you share a little bit more about that, how that happens?
Yes. Well, in Texas, we have a law that says a woman has to wait 24 hours after her ultrasound before she can have the abortion. And before every ultrasound, before every abortion, by the way, an ultrasound is performed. And I'm sure it's that way in Mississippi and all the other states. Because they have to determine how far along she is, because that determines the abortion procedure that's used. There's different procedures, and I won't go into the graphic nature of those, but the bigger the baby is, the harder it is to abort the child. So she has an ultrasound, and we have big signs outside our bus that say free ultrasound. An ultrasound at Planned Parenthood is $150, so a lot of the women think they'll get the ultrasound with us and then just take the picture into Planned Parenthood. And that's fine with me. I mean, I wouldn't mind every woman coming to us first, because we know that after they come in our bus, they're not going to go to Planned Parenthood 9 out of 10 times. So that's the way that works. So they come in a lot of times just looking for the free services and then end up choosing life.
Okay. So they, one of the draws is the fact that they recognize that your services are free, correct?
Yes. That's the biggest draw.
Right. And of course, Planned Parenthood, it can cost them a lot of money to get the services they get there, right?
That's right.
And, you know, it's, again, it's so powerful to see how God uses mobile units as well as standing clinics like yours, again, to help save women from just the tragedy of going down the road of having had abortions, though. So maybe any other testimonies or stories that come to mind that you'd like to share?
Yes, I mean, there's just so many, I don't even know where to start. We had one lady going for an abortion, and one of our people that was standing and praying, it was during our 40 Days for Life campaign, and this, incidentally, is an international prayer event getting ready to start next Wednesday on September 28th with over 400 cities around the world participating. But anyway, this lady was standing out there with one of our 40 Days for Life campaigns, and she had a sign with a picture of a baby at just 8 weeks in utero. Beautiful picture, not an aborted baby, but a beautiful picture of a baby at just 8 weeks. And she had no idea that what a baby even looked like at that stage of development. So she went into Planned Parenthood, and she was actually on the abortion table. She couldn't get the picture out of her mind. She decided to ask the Planned Parenthood nurse if her baby had a heartbeat. And thanks be to God, the nurse answered her truthfully and said yes. And that was all it took for her to get off the abortion table at the last minute and come into the bus. And I can tell you, when we're doing the ultrasounds on these women, especially the ones who have abortions scheduled the day we see them, they usually start off by covering their eyes and not wanting to look at the ultrasound monitor. But we start to describe the baby to them, and we call it a baby. And it's just amazing. They start peeking out through their fingers, and they start crying. They're crying and laughing at the same time. You know, they're just blown away and just so amazed at what they're looking at. And like I said, it's that picture of their unborn baby. And these babies seem to do tricks for their parents, by the way. And the grace of God that's causing them to choose life.
That's good. That's good. Well, praise God again just for the great, great, and wonderful work that pregnancy clinics do. And I want to ask, would you pray for our listeners in that the Lord may very well have people out there that are, he wants them to become prayer warriors, to pray for the work you do. He has people that would, the Lord may want them to become financial contributors to these ministries, or people that may volunteer to go and go out to the, some of the abortion clinics to pray for God to stop some of the abortions, or even if they don't travel to the clinics, maybe just to pray. But would you pray for those persons that God would raise them up to get involved?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for all you've given us. You have been so good to us, and thank you for your great mercy. We pray today that hearts may be changed to be part of this pro-life movement in our country. We know that it is the atrocity of our day, and that we also know that when you touch the hearts of your faithful, and I believe you are touching the hearts of our faithful, we just need to respond. Please call out the people, the faithful, that will come out and stand in the gap, that will stand for you, that will bring your light and hope to the darkest place on earth, the abortion facilities. Where can we go, Lord, that you would lead us? Please get us involved in this movement.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for many more prayer warriors, many more volunteers, many more people to be involved, because we know that is your will, that every life that is created be brought to be born, and that you never make a mistake. And not one of these children, no matter how they are conceived, Lord, we know that it's your will that they were conceived and that they be born. And so I just ask that the people in our land, in our community, I'm sure an abortion facility is not too far from any of us, Lord, please send us there. And we ask for your blessings on everything that we do, and we ask that our hearts be open to doing your will. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you. Thank you for the ministry. Thank you for the many ways in which a ministry like Houston Coalition for Life touches lives in so many glorious and blessed ways. And Lord, thank you for the many other pregnancy clinics you have in communities all over our nation and our world. Father, more and more, raise up more clinics that will do the great work that these ministries are doing, but raise up more individuals who will come alongside them that will be prayer warriors, praying much for you to guide and bless them. And Lord, more and more, stir your church to get involved, to give financially to help these ministries, and to send volunteers, and stir more pastors to decide that they're going to get vitally involved in standing for life, not passively or just being, just not wanting to get involved, but more and more, stir them to recognize that this is deep in your heart, that you love these babies you've created, and you never intended for people to be destroying your precious babies. Help us, Lord, to be the church you've called us to be, addressing this issue the way you want it to be addressed. And Father, more and more, send forth more people that will volunteer to work with Houston Coalition for Life. Send forth more laborers who will become involved just financially as well. And Lord, send forth more and more people that will come alongside them to help in whatever ways you'd have them to help them carry out the great work and the vision you've called them to in the city of Houston and beyond. And Father, finally, more and more, raise up more individuals that will do their part to help start pregnancy clinics in communities that do not have them. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that every college town desperately needs to have pregnancy clinics in them. Guide us, Lord, in being the hands and feet of Jesus in helping in this important endeavor. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Christine Melchior. She's the director of the Houston Coalition for Life, a pregnancy clinic outreach there in the city of Houston, Texas, that has at least two mobile pregnancy clinics and a standing clinic as well. We're grateful to have her on the line today. We'll be right back after this break. Thank you.
just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
What's going on? It's your man Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the track stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go.
Where does a father learn fathering? Dr. Tony Evans offers his personal example as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Well, my great illustration is my own dad. And when he was converted and he would begin having spiritual times tied to us being around the dinner table, whether it was prayer or a Bible verse that we memorized or something principle he was reviewing, I kind of learned from him how important it is to use the gathered family around the table for leading your family and for imparting spiritual principles and spiritual truth into their lives. So I have to credit my father with influencing me in that direction. Because of the influence of my dad, because of the primacy that the Bible taught about family, because of the theology that I came to learn in developing the kingdom agenda and its philosophy and the foundation of family as being the keystone to civilization, and because of the demise of the family in the contemporary culture being led by the defections of fathers, all of that came together and intersected for a heavy burden for the family and my desire to see the family strengthened and men to step up to the plate and become the kingdom men that they were created and designed to be, along with women becoming the kingdom women they were created and designed to be. So all of that came together to create this great burden for the restoration of the family. I saw what happened when God redeemed our family, so I wanted to see God do that in other families as well.
For an in-depth look at what it means to be a godly husband and father, check out Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man. It'll teach you how to follow God's agenda for the home, work, at church, and in society. Get a copy for yourself. Details on Kingdom Man are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
So that man could be redeemed and come closer to God with the hope of eternity. You ask me, how do I know the love God has for me? While I was yet in my sin, He gave His life to set me free. From the sting of the grave and the void that's in this life. Glory be unto God
for the past. The music of JR, the song For Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk again. We're grateful to have as our phone guest today, Christine Melchor. She's the director of Houston Coalition for Life, a pregnancy clinic ministry in the city of Houston with two mobile pregnancy clinics and a standing clinic as well. Christine, would you like to share website information? If someone's wanting to learn more about your ministry or maybe contribute financially or just get more insight about what you do, would you tell them how to learn more about Houston Coalition for Life?
Yes, I'd be happy to. You can visit our website, and that is HoustonCoalition.com. That's HoustonCoalition, HoustonCoalition.com. Or you can call me. I'd love to give out my cell phone number. Mm-hmm. It's 832-244-8724.
Mm-hmm. Okay, repeat it one more time.
832-244-8724.
All righty. Thank you, then. And let me say to our listeners, if you maybe have a question you'd like to direct to Christine, if you'd like to share it in the Cherubim, you can do that at this time. Christine, just a different kind of question, too. Often you hear people say, as it relates to this issue, they say, well, this is a woman's issue and men should stay out of it. It's not men's business. How would you respond to that kind of that statement?
Well, actually, yes, it is a woman's issue, but it's also a man's issue because it takes two people mm-hmm. for another human being to come to be. I can tell you, Pastor Joseph, from my standing and praying on the street, that I have seen so many brokenhearted fathers mm-hmm. who accompany their wife or their girlfriend to the abortion facility a good portion of the time, just hoping to convince her not to go through with the abortion, but who are absolutely devastated when she does. It's not mm-hmm. just a woman's issue. This baby is not the woman's body. This is a separate human being mm-hmm. who's in God's eyes, all worth everything that any one of us is worth, is and is due all that same dignity and respect as you and I are due. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the father is another party in this, and has a huge stake in it. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've seen a lot of times for the mothers who are considering abortion, all it takes is just for the father to tell her he loves her, he'll stand by her, and he'll help her. And that's all she needs to be able to continue the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a woman's issue. And, of course, the baby's male or female that's growing inside of her body. So, no, it's definitely not just a woman. This affects society as a whole, too. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're indiscriminately killing our unborn in the thousands, mm-hmm. our Planned Parenthood here in Houston does about 30 abortions a day. Mm-hmm. That affects society as a whole. I think that's one of the reasons why our society is in the bad shape that it's in now. If we don't respect human life from the moment of conception, how are we going to ever respect it if we can't respect the most vulnerable and innocent among us?
That's
so
right.
When we allow abortion to continue like it is, it's not just a woman's issue. It's affecting everyone and everything that we do.
Hmm. You said they do about 30 a day.
Yes.
Hmm. That is so
tragic. 6 days a week.
So sad. So sad. Well, you know, the topic of addressing this issue from the standpoint of men's thoughts and perspectives on it actually is a huge topic, because you touched on a number of things right there. Number one, you said sometimes you see where men, they come with the girlfriend or the wife, but they obviously are reluctant and are, you said, they're hoping to change her mind.
Yes.
Hmm. You know, that's such a tragic scene to recognize that, like, men who, again, are the father of that child, but I think the law basically indicates the woman, if she chooses to abort, the man really has no say in the matter, correct?
That's correct, unfortunately.
Mm. And I think of this, too, that on the other hand, you see another side of it, too, and you, as you alluded to as well. Sometimes you have a woman that she's either on the fence or she wants to keep her baby, but she may have a man or a boyfriend that's basically telling her or coercing her, telling her, you're going to get an abortion. And what's sad is a lot of people don't know that's against the law. If a man,
yes, it is.
If the woman wants to keep her baby, no boyfriend, no husband, no dad or mom has the right to force her to try to coerce her to get an abortion. But lots of parents don't know the law. Boyfriends and husbands don't know the law. I found that even law enforcement people sometimes don't know the law on this particular issue.
You're exactly right about all of that. And then that's another way where we can come in when we get to meet these women. You know, if we even get the slightest idea they're being coerced, we fill them in on everything you just said. That is illegal. They cannot be coerced. We have safe houses we can send them to, maternity homes that they need to get away from parents or from a boyfriend. So, yes, it's illegal to coerce a woman into having an abortion or a child.
That's right. That's right.
When I see a young girl, and we've seen them as long as young as 11, I tell them this is the one time you don't have to obey your parents. They cannot force you to have this abortion.
That's right. And it's such a tragedy to think that sometimes you do have parents that are they're so misled that in their mind that they may think or they say they're doing the right thing. But in fact, that's the wrong thing. And it's wrong for a grandparent to try to coerce the child to have to destroy their grandchild, basically, in essence. So, but any other story, Christine, our time is almost up. But any other stories or testimonies that come to mind that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I can share the story of a young lady and her now husband that they shared at our dinner just a few months ago. Mm-hmm. I met her as I was standing outside a different abortion facility in Houston, and she was in college, and she was studying to be an engineer, and she had a positive pregnancy test. And so after she'd gone into the abortion facility and even had her ultrasound, you know, she has to wait 24 hours here. I was able to have her come into our smaller bus just so I could do another ultrasound. I just wanted to share with her how we could help her. And thankfully, she took me up on my offer, and she came in, and we showed her her baby in a way the abortion facility didn't. A lot of times, they don't show her the entire baby. They might show her the top of the baby's head, which is a round circle and kind of looks like a blob. But all you have to do is turn the ultrasound probe a little bit, and you can see the entire body of the baby. And I think what really touched her was how we approached her. You know, we do everything in a kind, loving, non-judgmental way. We talked to her about the help we can get her. She was concerned that her father would kick her out. She wouldn't be able to graduate from college. But she ended up choosing life for her baby, after all. And she came and shared her story at her dinner. And it just turned out beautifully. They ended up being married. She's continuing school. She has an even better relationship with her father now than she ever did before. And I can't promise every woman in a crisis pregnancy a fairy tale ending like this one. But I can say that I can promise every woman that's pregnant and considering abortion that if she goes ahead and lets her child continue to live when she's holding that baby, she's going to be so grateful. She's going to be thanking God every day for the rest of her life that she did not abort that child. And I'd like to really encourage the people there in Tupelo to get involved, if not at the pregnancy centers in your area, to go to Memphis. Take one day out of the month and go pray at one of the abortion facilities there. The graces and the blessings you get for being a witness outside an abortion facility are innumerable. I couldn't even begin to mention all of them. You're a witness to the moms and dads that are going in. You're a witness to the community that says we don't agree with what's going on in there, and we're willing to stand up in person and let the world know that we don't agree with abortion and that we're here to help. If I could encourage anybody to do anything, it would be that, Pastor Joseph, is to go pray outside an abortion facility at least once. It will be an experience you will never forget, and you'll find a way to do it again.
Amen. Amen. Would you pray for our listeners? There may be a woman that's listening, a young woman that maybe even right now find herself in a difficult situation. She's pregnant and finds that it's just a tough time to be in that situation right now. Would you pray for those persons listening at this time?
Yes. Dear Jesus, we come before you right now to ask your prayers and your blessings on every woman that's finding herself in an unplanned or crisis pregnancy.
Yes, Jesus.
Please touch her heart, Lord, and give her the graces that she needs to feel even the slightest glimmer of love for her unborn child. So please, please, Lord, touch her heart and let her know that there are people in the community that are willing to stand with her every step of the way and to help her in every way that they possibly can so that her and her unborn child don't have to experience the horror of abortion, which is truly a horror, an unspeakable horror, of course for the baby, but also for the mom, Lord.
Yes.
Please touch her heart, all the hearts of the moms out there that are pregnant today.
Thank you, Lord.
And let them know that you love them.
Thank you.
And you love their child.
Thank
and this
you.
Happened for a reason, and that baby has a great purpose,
thank
and
you.
So do the mothers. So please, Lord, bless these moms.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless our work, and bless all of us who strive to bring your light and your goodness to all these women facing a crisis pregnancy.
Thank
Amen.
You. Amen. Amen. And Father, I do thank you and I praise you again for the great work that Houston Coalition for Life is doing and so many other ministries out there that you've raised up to do the same sort of outreach, to embrace these precious ladies who find themselves pregnant at a difficult time in their lives. And thank you for the love they extend to them. Thank you for the great work of evangelism, discipleship, and pastoral ministry that they extend. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us as the church, the opportunity we have of coming alongside and helping to undergird them with our prayers, with our finances, and with sending volunteers and helping in other ways. Lord, thank you for the many ways that they provide services that are free to bless and help women during a tough time in their lives. More and more raise up churches and leaders and people that will stir the church to aggressively come alongside and help these great outreaches do the work you've called them to do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Christine, would you share your website information one more time for anyone that might want to get in touch with you?
Yes, I'd be happy to. It's HoustonCoalition.com, HoustonCoalition.com, HoustonCoalition.com. Mm-hmm. And my cell phone number is 832-244-8724. That's 832-244-8724.
Amen. Okay, and if someone listening is thinking to themselves, they really have an interest in bringing a pregnancy clinic ministry to their community in the neighborhood, they may be thinking that there's not one in their community. Could they get in touch with you to learn more about how you go about even starting one?
Yes, I'd be happy to talk to anybody that's looking into that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what qualifications would they need to have to even begin to thinking and looking into that direction?
I think the basic quality is just a love for our Lord, a love for life, and wanting to help women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I think this is something anybody who really had that desire and that love in their heart could do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all righty. Well, Christine, thank you so much for your time. And I want to encourage every single listener to really pray specifically for the work of Houston Coalition for Life. And also, let's pray that God will raise up more and more ministries that will do the same thing in large cities, in small cities, in rural communities, because the fact is, again, the sad reality is lots of people don't realize how widespread the tragedy of abortion is. One out of every three or four women have had abortion. So that means that touches every congregation, every community. This ministry is so needed. Thank you so much, Christine, for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Pastor Joseph.
Thank you for being a part of our listening audience. Again, please pray much for the ministry, this ministry and others that are doing the same great work. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.